Macmillan Audio presents Train Dreams by Dennis Johnson. Read for you by Will Patton. One. In the summer of 1917, Robert Grainier took part in an attempt on the life of a Chinese laborer caught, or anyway accused of, stealing from the company stores of the Spokane International Railway in the Idaho Panhandle. Three of the railroad gang put the thief under restraint and dragged him up the long bank toward the bridge under construction 50 feet above the Moye River. A rapid sing-song streamed from the Chinaman, voluminously. He shipped and twisted like a weasel in a sack, lashing backward with his one free fist at the man lugging him by the neck. As this group passed him, Grainier, seeing them in some distress, lent assistance and found himself holding one of the culprit's bare feet. The man facing him, Mr. Sears, of Spokane International's management, held the prisoner almost uselessly by the armpit and was the only one of them, besides the incomprehensible Chinaman, to talk during the hardest part of their labors. "Boys, I'm damned if we ever see the top of this heap." "Then we're hauling him all the way?" was the question Grainier wished to ask, but he thought it better to save his breath for the struggle. Sears laughed once, his face pale with fatigue and horror. They all went down in the dust and got righted, went down again, the Chinaman speaking in tongues and terrifying the four of them to the point that whatever they may have had in mind at the outset, he was a deader now. Nothing would do but to toss him off the trestle. They came abreast of the others, a gang of a dozen men pausing in the sun to lean on their tools and wipe at sweat and watch this thing. Grainier held on convulsively to the Chinaman's horny foot, wondering at himself, and the man with the other foot let loose and sat down gasping in the dirt and got himself kicked in the eye before Grainier took charge of the free flailing limb. "It was just for fun, the man sitting in the dirt said, and to his confederate there he said, "Come on, Gel Toomas, let's give it up." "I can't let loose," this Mr. Toomas said. "I'm the one's got him by the neck," and laughed with a gust of confusion passing across his features. "Well, I've got him," Grainier said, catching both the little demon's feet tighter in his embrace. "I've got the bastard, and I'm your man." The party of executioners got to the midst of the last completed span 60 feet above the rapids and made every effort to toss the Chinaman over. But he bested them by clinging to their arms and legs, weeping his gibberish until suddenly he let go and grabbed the beam beneath him with one hand. He kicked free of his captors easily, as they were trying to shed themselves of him anyway, and went over the side, dangling over the gorge, and making hand over hand out over the river on the skeleton form of the next span. Mr. Toomas's companion rushed over now, balancing on a beam, kicking at the fellow's fingers. The Chinaman dropped from beam to beam like a circus artist downward along the crosshatch structure. A couple of the work gang cheered his escape, while others, though not quite certain why he was being chased, shouted that the villain ought to be stopped. Mr. Sears removed from the holster on his belt a large old four-shot black powder revolver and took his four to no effect. By then, the Chinaman had vanished.